I'm Cloudette, and this is Cloud, Coffee and Code.
Alrighty, hello and welcome back to another week's edition of, I believe we're on episode 8 now of Cloud, Coffee, and Code. These are our virtual happy hours. We have guests on to talk about small businesses. We have them to talk about current events. We had a couple talk about COVID, some all over the map, right? But we're bringing it back today with Ty Riley to talk about small businesses. So first off, welcome in, Ty. Thanks for jumping on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey. Thanks for having me, man. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you because so it's something that Capital Presence, we're really passionate about small businesses. Obviously, we're a small business. Our CEO, which happens to be my wife, is from a small town in northern Baltimore County called Hereford, right? And so Hereford is your, there's probably more cows than people type of town, right?
Okay.
And so, you know, owning a tech company, you know, you go to San Francisco or you go to DC, which we did, or you go to New York or you go to these big cities, right? And what's so cool about what you did and what we're trying to push out is that you didn't leave your hometown, right? Can you tell me a little bit about the thought process of the Streets Dance and your thought process of staying home?
Sure. So for me, like as you like in the dance industry, normally what happens is most of the younger dancers and everything, they'll grow up. And then once they leave high school, they'll look at going professional. And that usually is either going to be the commercial world, which is in Los Angeles, or it's going to be the Broadway scene. And that's going to be in New York. So if you're a dancer, that's like the two main places that you look at going to whenever it is your time to actually go into the professional scene. For me, I didn't start dancing until I was actually quite a bit older already, whenever I was maybe like 19 or 20. So I already knew my dance career was already run short because dancers really only last till they're about 25 and then they're no good in the actual industry. So I thought of the idea to actually create an event called a dance convention and competition where we actually travel the United States and put on events for the dance communities. Most of the basically the companies just like mine are located in Los Angeles or located in New York. But I decided to actually stay in my small town because I wanted to dedicate my event to kind of like small towns that don't really get that dance convention experience. And I really wanted to build it from home and actually have it grow out that way.
Yeah, that's so cool. And so take me through the process. First off, like the Streets Dance, right? I mean, so yeah, you're exactly right. Like people think of dance, you think about, like I have friends who've moved to LA to uproot their lives, right? And they were not in small cities, right? They're in Philadelphia, right? I'm in DC, right? And so we grew up in these, like, I wouldn't call them small towns by any means, right? But you have that thought process of, you know, I'm a part of said industry, and in order to make it, I have to do this, right? So when you first started this out, what were some of the things that went through your mind of, should I do this in LA? Or what was the determining factor of where you were like, I have the resources here in my hometown to make this happen? Like, what was that thought process like?
For me, it was actually pretty difficult because, for one, I'm a small town boy from Texas. So as far as my knowledge of the actual even dance industry, I played sports my entire life. I wasn't even in the dance industry. So actually like starting from scratch in an industry that I was a little unsure of, but I knew it had a purpose and it had a meaning to a lot of the kids. It was really like a trial and error thing. And I knew that if I went out there, it would be easier, but it also would be much more expensive. Just living in LA is a struggle on its own as far as like housing prices and different things like that. I knew that if I started small and actually grew at my own organic level instead of like trying to make it too big, I had a better chance of succeeding actually staying where I was.
Okay. And so that involves what, getting deeper into the community or
Exactly.
That.
So for me, what I did is to get the word out there, every other type of convention in our industry, they would always use print advertising and multiple different types of advertising. For me, I focused on, for one, straight hustle. Basically, every single summer, I would go out and teach free classes to the local dance communities, but also across the country. I would literally travel my own dollar. I would sleep in my car. I would stay in the cheapest hotels. I would barely eat just to make sure I was putting forth a great name for my business and growing on a more personal level with the studio. And my story that I would get to tell would be about coming from a small town and growing to the point that it was, you know, something remarkable and special, because I didn't want to seem like, hey, I moved to LA and I got this big thing. I wanted to have grassroots, like in a small town, and really focus on that small town atmosphere of, you know, really taking care of the people that are working with you.
And so at first, the getting that hustle, right? That getting in and getting in front of people, I assume small town people know you, right? Like that you're not knocking on strangers' doors, right? So that's a plus, right? But I assume, I mean, so what was that like? What was the community involvement? Like how did you get, like, who'd you turn to?
So first starting out, the very first event that we ever had was in my local town for basically the local dancers and local dance studios. So most of them already kind of slightly knew me and knew what I was about. And they were very, very supportive. I really relied heavily on them as far as like, hey, what did you like? What did you not like? How can we grow? How can we get this better? And that allowed us to grow to multiple cities across the United States. Now we have about 20 something cities that travels the whole country. We go into even bigger cities, like big dance cities, just because we've had that big need to, but we actually still go to those smaller towns to take care of them as well.
That's awesome, man. So you're in, say that again, you're in how many cities? 20 cities now?
Yes. So we will be in, I think, 20 cities next year. 20 plus cities across the United States.
And so how do you pick these cities? You said, you just mentioned that your focus, you know, obviously you came from small towns, right? So I would assume that is still in your heart, right? So how do you balance, like, what small city do I like reach out to next with the industry lives in LA? Like, how do you balance that?
Right. Well, for me, like, for instance, most of our teachers, like our teachers that I hire that actually teach at our events, they live in LA or they live in New York or they live in Chicago. And I basically fly them out every weekend and we'll go to these different types of towns all across the United States. But, you know, it was kind of like a struggle at first to get it off the ground and growing, but we always wanted to make sure we took care of those smaller towns. And how we chose each town was I would really just kind of put out feelers. I would basically hustle and call around and offer my free masterclasses. And based off the attendance of those and the interest that I received from those, we would look at actually going to those cities. And of course, every time I went, I would give great promotions like, hey, you know, you could bring this amount of kids for free. You could try us out. You could do this. And I would make it to where almost these studios wouldn't be able to turn us down. Like, it would be worse for them to turn us down than would it be to send free people to the event, because I knew we put on a great experience. And I knew if I could just get them there, then we'd be able to grow from that point.
And so you talk about experience, right? So with any small business, right, dance is a business, right? So it abides by some of the same rules of small businesses, right? And so customer experience, community, you know, all that you just mentioned, like how important was that in your startup, not only in your startup, but now that you're getting into these other cities that, you know, they may or may not know who Ty Riley is, right? You started in a town where, let's rally around Ty. This is awesome. Like, he's helping out the community. So now it's, okay, we have to be sold on your experience. We have to be sold on. So how much emphasis do you put on the experience, and what's your thought process? Obviously, you put a whole bunch on the experience, right? But how do you go about portraying that to somebody who doesn't know who Ty Riley is?
So what I have done is at the very beginning, I built our faculty, which is our teachers at the events, some big names, some smaller names, different people that people may recognize. So at the very beginning, as I was going out, people were starting to fall in love with my message and who I was as a person. And a lot of them came to support me. And I knew that as I got older and as we got bigger, I wouldn't be able to reach as many people because my time would be less. So I spent a lot of my time rebuilding our faculty, rebuilding our staff, rebuilding our teachers to be everything that I expect from a human being that I want them to portray. So great role models, inspiring, and really just putting my values within them and letting them know what I'm expecting from them. And then that way, now whenever we go to a new place, they may not know me as much, but they're going to know our team of who we actually are bringing. And that's how we've been able to actually scale to a bigger level.
Nice. They'll know then now you're a branded message too. And so these people who are coming to you abide by your brand and your core values, I'd assume, right? Like, you would still, I assume you're not just picking anybody to say, hey, come on, let's just dance, right? Like,
right.
You have core values and there are things you abide by. What are some of those core values that you guys push?
So what we do is we, one of our biggest missions is we follow a no dancer left behind mentality. Whenever I first started dancing, again, I was a little older than most of the kids that go to a convention, and I was brand new. So whenever I walked into a convention room, I quickly did not want to be in the front because I'd be kind of hogging the space from the younger kids. So I hopped in the back of most of the convention classes, and I realized that I wasn't really having a great experience because I was so far away from the stages of where the teacher was teaching, and there's just so many people in the room. So whenever I created this event and this business, I really wanted to focus on the experience of every single person in that room. So a no dancer left behind mentality basically means no matter where you are in the room, no matter what style of dancer, no matter what level of dancer you are, we're going to make sure you have a great experience, even if it's tailored to you or tailored to everybody in the same room. And along with that is we also want to, we have multiple things that we do at the events to make sure that happens, but also just making sure that every kid feels like family whenever they come to our event. Family is huge for us because that's like our small town values that we've really focused on. A lot of the bigger conventions out there, they kind of just put people on stage and nobody really gets a great experience. For us, it's all about the experience of being in the classroom, really being able to talk to the teachers, relatability, personability, like really being personable with all the kids. That's why I'm so big on social media with like even like TikTok or responding back or doing live streams. It's just because I want to connect with all the kids out there. And we've been able to do a great thing. Like even with our company team, we have mentorship programs. Like we're doing things that no one else is doing in the industry, and really focusing on more than dance, but actually more on life values as we're going through all this.
No, I love that. I love that. So I have a couple questions. I mean, I have a lot more questions for you.
Yeah.
But there's a Q&A up here that we have on the side, and one of the questions came in. It says, okay. What mediums and platforms? I know you just touched on TikTok and some of your live streams and stuff like that, right? But what mediums and platforms do you use to communicate your message with the new communities?
So it depends on who I'm trying to connect with. So mostly if I'm trying to connect with the decision makers, like parents or studio owners or studio teachers, I advertise and I post through Facebook. Facebook has been one of our biggest ways of just quickly saying like, hey, I'm teaching free masterclasses this summer. Sign up here if you would like me to come to your studio. Or like, for instance, for COVID-19, since a lot of the dance world literally shut down, we even had to cancel three of our events, which was very tough on us. But we actually just announced that we're having our national finals, which is our big Super Bowl event basically in July. So everybody's excited about that. But if I gave out free scholarships just to help with the cost of struggling families whenever they get back to the dance world. And I was able to put that on there. And we had over, I think, 500 different people redeem their scholarships and be able to do it for free. So I use Facebook for the older audience. We've always been a big advocate of Instagram. However, Instagram reach is not that great anymore. We're pretty steady on there. We still post multiple three times per day, two times per day on that with great messages, photos, and videos. But where we've grown the most right now and where we connect the best with the kids is TikTok right now. I actually jumped on TikTok whenever it was first Musical.ly and created a big presence there. And then now we're one of the leading in our industry, in the dance industry, of actually having one of the bigger dance accounts. Like we're, you know, I think we have 66,000 followers right now or something like that. And we're growing pretty steady, and it's actually so much fun. So I've been doing that most of the time right now.
And so a follow up to that, right? Were you a marketing major? Like how did you, I know like how did you just pick this up? You're just like, you know what? I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to get on Musical.ly, now TikTok, and just say, I'm going to start making some videos. Or like what type of process of marketing do you go through?
So whenever I actually was going to college, I was actually going to college to be an electrical engineer. So it was completely off the wall. That was before I started dancing and everything like that. So I was basically trying to become an electrical engineer. And then I started getting interested more in the business world. And I started like kind of rising up the corporate ladder a little bit in some of my jobs that I had while I was going through college. And I really wanted to focus on that. And I just really got interested in marketing. I've never had my mother was never marketing. I just got really interested in it. I really taught myself most of it. And I really focused on what would work. And what happened for me is like we started very, very small, one event a year, two events a year, then three events a year. And we did basically three events a year for 5 years to get it off the ground. And I would have more followers and more people on our social media than most of the bigger companies that would have 35 cities per year because they just didn't focus on it. So I've always taken kind of this more internet version of advertising than print. I never did any print advertising. I didn't think it was worth it. I never did any billboard. I never did anything like that. My stuff was always through the computer. That was one of the main things that I focused on, was just completely electronically.
Wow. Yeah, that's I mean, that's very new. I mean, so how long have you guys been doing this? Like that, I mean, if you mentioned Musical.ly. Musical.ly is like, you know, nobody knows Musical.ly. If you drop Musical.ly out there, nobody knows that, right? So, I mean, the importance of getting on new platforms, right? Before, like you mentioned, there are so many there's other dance studios out there that exist, right? And they all have the same access that you do to these social platforms, and getting on early and often and creating this vibe and this environment and this community of users. So you're already on TikTok, right? But, and you got, I guess you lucked out because of Musical.ly, I don't know. And now TikTok has boomed, but like, what's the thought process that you had of getting on new mediums and new social platforms? And because you just mentioned, right, which I think is so interesting, you're saying that Instagram doesn't have that same reach that it did, right? That's, what's the thought process and what goes through your mind where you're like, all right, Instagram was big 6 months ago, but now it's TikTok, right? Like, how do you plan your marketing around the different social media platforms, which I assume your heavy focus is on kids, right? Or the youth?
Yes. Our events, are tailored to ages 5 to 18. That's where most of that's our customer base. So we deal with 5 to 18 actually dancers in the rooms, but then of course parents are involved, dance teachers are involved. So we kind of are a B2C and a B2B type business. So we're selling to the studios. And then we also have kids that are coming by themselves as independents that will come to our events. What I've really tried to focus on is every single time a new platform comes out, no matter if I think it's going to work or think it's not, I'm going to hop on the moment it comes out, save my names. That's super important to make sure you have the same name throughout everything, for me at least. And I'm really going to focus on making sure that I test it out and I know what I'm doing. So I actually hopped on whenever it was Musical.ly. We ended up getting like 50,000 followers just off of Musical.ly. Musical.ly even contacted us to become a live stream creator whenever they have Lively, which was really cool because I would start live streaming our competitions and stuff at the events. And we got a lot of attention then. And that helped grow like other social medias and different things like that. But once it started dying down, I actually hopped off. And I kind of wish I didn't, because if I would have kept going, I would have even set myself even better for whenever TikTok came out, because TikTok is actually more suited for my business than what Musical.ly was. Yeah. So it's now, I mean, TikTok, I've been preaching TikTok for 2 years with a lot of our kids, like through the mentorship programs, and the ones that listened to me and started posting on TikTok every single day are now like influencers. Like some of them have verified checks. Like it's just crazy if you just focus on what you're doing and just believe in it. Like you have to see when it ages up, and as soon as it ages up, you know that it's on. Like it's gonna work.
Yeah, I mean I feel like that's the hardest part for any business, right? Any platform is just not seeing the fruit immediately. Right? I mean, you're talking about Musical.ly to years later being TikTok to 2 years later. Now you're starting to see influencers out of your systems. You're starting to see your community grow and expand. And, you know, and so let's take a step back to the beginning, right? Is what was that? I love the hustle story whenever you're talking to a small business owner or somebody who's an entrepreneur or started up, right? That hustle story, you talked about 3 events a year at one point, right? 1 event a year, 3 events a year, right? At what point, a question that I get a lot is, when do I leave my day job? When do I know that it makes sense to go all in on this, right? What was that decision like for you, knowing that, I mean, it takes years to build 60,000 followers on TikTok or any platform, right? So what would you say to somebody who says, well, when do I know to jump, knowing that I might not see that fruit immediately?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, there's 2 aspects to this. I never looked at my social media as the driving force to I've made it. I've always used it as a supplement to the actual thing that I'm doing, which the main thing we're putting on is we're putting on dance events across the country. it took about 5 years to get my business off the ground. That was more difficult because as we were very small, we would have newer conventions pop up. There's actually a lot of dance conventions in our industry, and they would all have tons of cities. So it was a really big struggle at first because we were so tiny. We were in a different league. Everybody was up here, like in a different league, and we were a brand new kind of smaller convention. As we started to grow, that's whenever things started really taking off. We, at year five, you know, me and my wife, we really just had tons of tough conversations like, do we hang it up? Are we through, or do we keep going? And something happened after year five where it just became profitable for one, but also you could just see a difference in the way people were respecting our name and our business and what they were telling other people. We've always had great reviews and different things like that from our local dancers, but the word started to get out. And like right after year five, just something happened to where the numbers were great. We were able to do a lot of improvements and different things to make our stage and our production level even better. And once we reached that, we started to be like, okay, let's add a couple more cities and see how that goes. And some of them worked, some of them didn't, but we kept going. And then every year we tried to add a couple of more. And it got to the point where once we started adding them, people would already know who they were, even though we've never been to that state before in our life. So we're really well known like in the south of the United States because we're based out of Texas. We do a lot of events in Texas, like four. We do two in Louisiana. We do one in Alabama. We do Tampa, Florida. We do like Chicago, Baltimore, Indianapolis. I mean, we're all over. We're doing Anaheim next year, California. So all these studios, because of social media now, instead of knowing like a lot about like they've heard a lot about us now because of like TikTok or because of the videos that we post up. So growing to a new area is tough, but it's not as hard as it used to be whenever those platforms weren't there.
Yeah. So that's something that I've never done the real city type of jump, right? Like I'm obviously a small business owner, right? My wife and I have probably some of the same conversations that you and your wife had is like, hey, like we're either all in or we got to pull the plug because it's getting dangerous, right? So, but I've never done that into another city. So what's the process of replicating your brand, knowing that Ty Riley's in one city, right? So how do you replicate it to a new city, knowing that you're going to have to basically turn the keys over to somebody else and have them maintain that same brand, that same message, that same franchise type mentality that make, you know, then to know that if I go to any city and I go to your studio that I know I'm getting the same as if Ty Riley was there or not.
Right. Well, for me, I'm at every single event. I'm the, So we fly to each event and then we have a crew that travels with all of our production equipment, the staging, the lighting, the sound and everything like that. So whenever I go, I'm the MC, I'm the director, I'm making sure everything runs smooth. And we have a team of like five staff members that travel with us, a crew of like three people and usually about 10 teachers that will actually teach at the convention. So, if you go to one city, you're going to get the same experience as if you go to another city. The only difference is the venue or in the city itself and everything like that.
Well, then I'm sorry for
No, it's okay. This industry, like even whenever I was in high school and I had no clue what the dance industry was, I didn't understand it. So nowadays, whenever somebody's like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, oh, you're not going to understand. Don't worry about it. And they're like, no, just try me. And I'm like, I own a dance convention, a competition. And they're like, you're right. I have no clue what that is. Like it just, unless you're in the industry, it's very difficult to understand. But just even for all the listeners out there, the gist of it is we go to a new city. We rent a convention room, multiple convention rooms or hotel ballrooms. And basically, if you can imagine a large stage with, you know, LED screens, huge lighting, looks like a concert where we have teachers on the stage teaching to a massive filled room of 100 to 300 kids at one time in each room, teaching them dances. And then after all the dance classes, all those kids will get to compete on that big stage against each other to win prizes. That's basically what we do. Wow. So it's like this big experience for the kids.
That's so the same dances that you're teaching, are these like, obviously, I mean, I don't know what type of dances are there. Are we, you're like, is this like, am I learning like the cha-cha slide type of stuff? Like the dances, that's a bad example. Terrible example.
I mean,
but yeah, you know what I mean? Like, are these like well-known dances or are you like setting this up choreographic for them right then there?
Exactly. So it's all pre-planned choreography from each of the teachers. So the teachers on their own time choreograph these dances to certain music, and they will come in and teach those different classes to all of the dancers in the room. If anybody out there gets a chance to check out our Instagram, you can see a lot of dance videos on there. I mean, it's a really cool experience. So these kids are coming in and they basically just become a sponge for the entire weekend. I mean, it's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday event. So it's like an overload of information where they learn it. It's all about family. So everybody's cheering each other on. It's just like, after you leave, you're like on cloud nine. It's just a great experience. You're so inspired. It's crazy.
That's so cool, man. So DC, are we on your map? Can I expect Ty Riley to show up on my doorstep?
We go to Baltimore. That's like right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I could do Baltimore. So, tell me some of the cities around the East Coast and West. You already mentioned LA, right? Baltimore. What are some of the ones you got coming up?
Let's see. So we're mostly based kind of in the middle. I know we're doing just to name a few. I'm looking at one of my schedules up here on the
diary. Right, put you on the spot here. I'm like, hey, by the way, give me exact dates of everything that's going down.
I wish I would have brought my poster. So we do like Phoenix, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Baltimore, Birmingham, Alabama, Orlando, Florida. Next year will be our big like event. So we have a regional season, which I'm a football guy. I love football. So like always, whenever I'm explaining things, I kind of explain like it's a football season. So we have like our regular season, which everybody goes to those events. And then in the summer in July, we have our Super Bowl, which we call our national finals. So we're actually in July going to be having our national finals. It's our first event kicking back off since, coronavirus, COVID-19. So our big one will be in Orlando. So the kids will get to come to our event, go to Disney, go all kinds of to amusement parks and just have fun.
And so I hate to bring up COVID, right? Because it was a non-fun thing, right? For just about everybody and anyone, right? But how did you get through this? I assume social media, you've mentioned that pretty much on every question response is either started with social media or involved social media in some way. So what are some of the things that you innovated through this? Because this is an experience event where you guys come, you're tightly, in the same proximity of each other. So what are some of the ways that you innovated through this?
So for us, it's been very tough because the very first thing that, of course, the government regulated was large events, large gatherings. So we were actually set up at one of our events, like full stage set up. It was Friday night and they made the announcement. We had to cancel our event before it even started, but we had already set everything up. So we had to literally, after setting it up, just tear it all down and then tell all the kids that were showing up that we had to cancel. And that was really tough. And then we ended up having to cancel three more events. So one thing that we made sure we did, first and foremost, just making sure we do everything right on our end, we gave everybody full refunds. And what's crazy is not everybody in our industry did that. They tried to keep them as credits and everything like that. I was like, no, not a chance. I was like, I don't care how much it costs me in credit card fees to pay back credit card payments and different things like that. I don't care how much we lose. I was like, everybody needs to keep their money because I don't know how bad this is going to get. So that's the first thing that we did. We made sure we took care of our customers and everybody that was registered for those events that did get canceled. And then we had to figure out what can we do? What can we innovate to make sure we could continue in the future? The main thing with us is we wanted to stay active on social media, for one, to make sure that people didn't forget about us. So we did, we posted crazy amounts of stuff, making sure that to keep everybody's spirits high, because everybody was learning off of, like, we had online classes. We've provided classes on TikTok. We provided classes on Instagram, provided classes on Zoom. We've done tons of contests since then, basically just giving out different things to the kids just to keep their spirits high. On an event level, to make sure that we could continue, we started implementing things, especially for our national finals, that'll make it to where we're still within CDC guidelines to make sure everyone is still safe. The main thing is we're limiting, like giving out the awards. Everything is going to be contactless. So we would basically have them pick up their awards at a later date, maybe after the event, instead of like, usually I stand on stage and it's like tons of people and I hand out each award as I announce the winners. We're going to basically be live streaming everything. Live streaming is huge whenever it comes to awards and scholarships because the kids don't actually have to be in the room. We're doing a lot of things like wearing masks. We're going to be doing like limiting the amount of people that actually come to the event. So that'll be harder on us as a business, but it'll be a better experience for the kids. And right now, as we're getting back into it, that's our main focus. It's just making sure the kids get back to normal or an idea of normal the best that we can as we move forward into next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's awesome. Great on you for taking those steps and understanding really what it's all about, right? At the end of the day, sure, this is a business, but it's an experience. And these kids, you know, they were looking forward to those events just like you were looking forward to putting them on, right? Probably right. More. They were probably more so looking forward to it. So right. Great on you, man. So before we wrap it up, I could talk to you all day, man. But before we wrap this up, go ahead and tell if you could tell people how to get in touch with you. How can we follow you? How can we see you dance on TikTok? How can we check you guys out?
Sure. So business-wise, everything that we have is The Street Stretz. So the word the in front of it. So THESTRETZ. So Z after in the streets dance. So that's our website, thestreetsdance.com. That's our TikTok. That's our Instagram. That's our YouTube. That's our Facebook. So if you just search up The Street Stretz, you'll find everything dance-related for our business. If you want to follow me personally, I also have a TikTok. The kids actually at the convention call me TikTok Ty. So I've changed my name. I used to have it just as my name. Now I'm officially, my name on TikTok is official TikTok Ty. I just got that started up, but you can search me Ty Riley on Instagram and multiple different platforms.
Nice. So I'm checking out your Instagram right now. And so real quick, so walk me through this, what I'm seeing okay. right here. Like I'm seeing lots of different types of dance. I see, mm-hmm. is this ballet? Is this... Yep.
We offer ballet, contemporary, tap, jazz, lyrical, ballroom, hip-hop, I mean, musical theater. We have – it's all styles. So basically any dancer, no matter what style of dance they do, they'll find something at Streets that will make them comfortable and happy, but also make them go out of their comfort zone because that's what we're all about.
That's right, right. All right, well, man, thanks for so much. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. I'm going to hit the follow button on all these, as well as all of you should. And I'm seriously, I will see you at Baltimore, man. I'll get up there. My wife my wife will drag me up there, I'm sure. So awesome with everything you're doing, man. And thank you so much again. Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate the conversation.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, next week, first, thanks for listening in. This has been Cloud Coffee and Code. If you missed any of our previous episodes, you can check them on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. And next week, we're going to try to do an interactive thing on Facebook Live. So we'll be doing two streams at once. So make sure you're checking that out. Again, thank you to Ty Riley. Thank you for everybody for watching and listening. See you next week.